Good morning, again. I was reading, I got an email from an organization called Lion's Roar. It's actually a Buddhist publication, basically Tibetan, but also in general. And they had a bunch of articles by teachers about breath. And I thought, oh, I want to talk about breath. And it's difficult. It's a challenge to talk about it because it's like water. It's completely boring and completely, absolutely necessary at the same time. And we usually don't notice it unless there's a problem. You know, if you have a stuffy nose, or you have asthma, or COPD, or whatever, allergies. And then you sit down and assume a cross-legged position or a seated position with your back straight, and your breastbone facing up, and your chin not sticking out, your head not falling forward. And somebody says, now simply follow your breath. So that seems simple. I mean, I know my breath, okay? I'm breathing. My chest is going in and out. My belly, my belly goes in and out if I take a deep breath. I didn't notice that before. I think this is especially if you're a woman, I'm not sure. I knew when I suck in my stomach, it kind of pushes my breath out a little bit. But we're not really familiar with it. And we start sitting zazen, and it is the primary object of our attention. And then, what do we notice? First, we notice that if we take a substantial inhale, there's a gathering, and there's a pause, and then there's an exhale. And if we exhale really completely, and kind of push the end out, we can feel our body relax. Maybe your shoulders come down, and you didn't even know that you were carrying them up high, but your shoulders lower, and your body just sort of, it's almost like there's a sigh. And it relaxes, pause, and then another deep breath. It's good to start a time of meditation with three deep breaths, exhaling completely. What does that feel like? Be with it, notice it. Feel the breath, the air coming in through your nostrils. And then filling your trunk. I experience it more when I take that kind of breath. I experience it more in my belly than I do in my chest. Feels like filling a bag, a long bag from the bottom, and then filling it up. And at the end of the inhale, I notice my chest. And then there's naturally a pause and the exhale. And when I'm taking this kind of deep, intentional breaths, I push it out at the end. So I'm pushing my stomach out in, pushing my diaphragm in to push the air out. And then again, a pause and then another breath. So you may have been doing it with me already, but let us do it together. So sit up straight and relax. Now take a deep breath, using breathing into your nose and filling your body with the air. And then let it, when it there's a pause, a natural pause, and then naturally there'll be an exhale. And at the end of the exhale, push it out. And then just wait. And then the next breath will begin naturally, but push it. Inhale as much as you possibly can. And again, wait. And when it's ready, your body will push that air out. And then at the end of it, squeeze it out, all of it. It's very relaxing to do that kind of breathing. And it's important to notice the in-breath, the pause, the out-breath, the pause, the in-breath. And there's so much information there that usually escapes us because we're not paying attention. But you can notice, are you allowing those pauses, for example? The pause between the exhale and the next inhale is sometimes called the little death. There's just nothing, right? You die on the exhale, right? Because what happens is that you exhale and you don't inhale again. So that pause is called the little death. And sometimes, often I think, not that we're aware of it, but often there's a little anxiety there. And we don't wait. So as soon as the exhale is over, one can get into the habit of pulling the next breath in quick, not allowing that pause. I used to do that, and I don't remember how I finally noticed it. And it is, when you do it, it's anxiety. It reflects anxiety and it provokes anxiety. When you don't allow the pause, when you pull the next breath in quick. So notice that pause and notice what comes up, if anything, not necessarily anything, but if something comes up, if there's a little tremor of anxiety, a little, uh-oh. So those pauses are important, both between the inhale and the exhale, and between the exhale and the next inhale. And you be with the breath all the way through that whole cycle. And it's a little easier to follow, I think, when you're taking those first three breaths because it's a little slower and you're paying extra attention because you're paying attention to pulling in all the air you can and pushing out all the air you can. And that's not the way you ordinarily breathe. The breath sort of decides on its own. The body decides on its own. So after those first three breaths, you settle into your breathing. And again, pay attention. Often it'll stay sort of focused more on your belly, lower in your body, and sometimes it'll be in your chest. As soon as you stop taking those super intentional breaths and you start breathing naturally again, sometimes it's just up here in your chest. And that tells you something. There's so much detail about our body and our the state of our body in the breath. You don't have to think about it. Please don't think about it. Simply notice it. Just like if I tell you what I'm about to say, you just do it. You don't say to yourself, I'm going to do X and then I will do X and now I'm doing X. You just do it. Put your attention on your left knee. Yeah, just pay attention. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. So as I often say, you know, when your attention strays and you got on the train of thought or whatever, when you notice you're already present again, so just put your attention back on your breath the same way you put it on your left knee. Just breathing. There's a wonderful book about there's a sutra, an early sutra called the Anapanasati Sutta, which is mindfulness of breath. And there's a great book about it called Breath by Breath by a man named Larry Rosenberg. And he talks and he tells a lot of stories, which are great. Some old Zen stories and some of his own. And he teaches now at Barre, Massachusetts, in Vipassana Insight Meditation Center. Anyway, he talks about how a student came to him and said, I don't get this following the breath stuff. It's so boring. The breath is really boring. Can't we have like visualizations of fancy mandalas or something? And so he said to the guy, okay, pinch your nose. Now close your mouth. I can't do this and talk about it. Close your mouth and hold your breath. And don't just sit like that for a while. And the guy sat like that for a while. And he sat like that for a while. And then after it was like this. And then he finally couldn't stand it anymore and he took a breath. And Larry Rosenberg said to the guy, is that boring? Of course it's not boring. When you think you're gonna die of asphyxiation. As you sit, there will be times when you'll become fascinated. What I'm interested in is you're getting to know it. Get to know your breath. Sometimes you'll find there's a little hitch in it. I had one for quite a while, and it didn't go away until I stopped worrying about it. Sometimes there's just not enough, and you have to work with that. If you have, I know about COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And for people like me, our lungs are a little flabby, and so they don't push all the breath out. So sometimes I do feel short of breath in the zendo, and I have to do a particular kind of breathing that helps to expel the air that's sort of getting stagnant in my lungs. And people with other issues have to deal with it, however. But our practice is to keep on doing zazen, that the breath is a zazen. And if I have to take some breaths and give a really long exhale with my lips first, then I do that. But I don't have to get all flustered and upset about it. I just do it. Breath is life. you know, the, we say respiration. Notice that it's the same root as inspiration. It's actually the root of spirit. Breath is life. Think of it, we're all breathing air. That's, you know, been all over the world. Setting aside the COVID images that arise for me, and certainly probably all of us. But when we're breathing, we're sharing that air. We literally are one another's air. My teacher, Sojin Mel Weitzman, years ago told me that a good Zen student always knows where her breath is. That's a useful practice. I don't always know where my breath is, but I usually do. And I have the habit of paying attention to it, and I have the habit of noticing what it's telling me. If it's in my chest, or if there's, it's showing me a tightness in my chest, or if it's coming fast. It's telling me something. My body is telling me something, and it's using the breath. I'm anxious, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm excited, I'm happy. I'm calm. In Zazen, we're practicing noticing that. We're practicing noticing it from beginning to end. Pause, beginning to end. Beginning, pause, to end, pause. Beginning, pause. And I hope for you that you will have times of being fascinated by it. Notice if you're starting the next breath by pulling it in rather than allowing it to happen naturally. Notice if there's a hitch in it. You often on the inhale, there'll be a hiccup kind of thing. It's too big a word for it. Just a little hitch. And you don't have to, there's nothing to do about it. Accept it, and then see what happens. Blanche Hartman talked years ago about, she got into a thing of, she'd start coughing in the Zendo. And she'd be coughing so much, she'd leave the Zendo because she didn't want to be bothering other people. And she talked to Dick Baker about it, and he said, why don't you try staying in the Zen? And so she did, and it was really hard for her to do that. But she did it. She stayed in the Zendo, and lo and behold, soon she stopped coughing. And just a good image for staying with your breath. It's your life. So, do you have any questions or comments? What's your experience of your breath? Kate?
Thank you, Mary. I hope that you're feeling well, and I appreciate you keeping the distance until we know. Thank you for making that effort. I'm in Port Townsend, so. anyway, thank you for making the effort for those who are there. And I find that there's great freedom for me in paying attention to my breath. I didn't understand that immediately, of course, but shortly after I began to practice, I think it was just a year or so, I went back to Indiana because my father was dying, and I stayed there with him for a couple of months and was with him when he died. And that's when I got it about breath. If you've ever been with somebody who took their last one, it sunk in a way that I didn't understand before. And I watched my breathing, and I watched his, and I had this fantasy that this was going to be this very sweet, gentle experience for both of us. And it was not. My father was a very stubborn, determined, willful, wonderful man. But he fought, and his was, it was an upsetting to me. And it was the first time I really was paying attention, and found that my breathing, you know, I kind of hoped that my breathing would affect his breathing, but it didn't. And but I was able to stay there and not leave because of my discomfort. And, you know, he did take a last breath, which was not as labored. So when you say the thing about that, the out breath being a little breath, I think I'd heard that, but I never really got it, you know. So I do get a little, it's nice to be reminded of that again. And I have noticed now, after all of these years of sitting, that it has become a habit for me. And I am not always aware, but it's useful to notice. And I tend to notice mostly when I'm stressed or there's a difficult situation. But I also notice sometimes when I'm making an effort physically, like in the garden when I'm digging, or when I'm, yesterday, Sunny and I moved some big stones. It's so useful to know where my breath is. It makes my experience bigger of everything, you know, the mundane, you know, things we do each day, and the hard things or the scary things. So thank you for, I don't know that I've read that book, so I'm going to get it anyway. Thank you.
The folks in Z1, I can't see you very well. I can see John and Elena very clearly, but if you raise your hand or put your hands in the show, I might not see you, and I can't see Steve at all.
Steve wants to talk.
I do have a question. I was wondering if you could see me. I just want to hear what you say, because I feel like I already do have the answer, but. Why not just do Zazen as much as possible with those intentional deep breaths? Why go back to the natural breath after those? It feels so good. Feels so good. Feel like I can concentrate better if I do those deep breaths.
You know. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I'll never know who I am.
That's part of it. That's a big part of it. And you can't, you know, when you're concentrating on your breath in that way, you're making something.
Mm-hmm.
You're producing something. You're doing something. And it's useful for a few breaths to help you settle in, but it's not Zazen.
Mm-hmm. It is artificial, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, that's okay, but don't stay there. Did I answer the way you expected?
Exactly as the way I expected, but with more humor.
Okay. Anybody else? Zach?
Like Kate, I find those intentional breaths come in handy when I'm frustrated or angry about something and storm out of the house and go sit on the porch and take some of those breaths, and it really helps. And I think part of it is it takes you out of your head, which doesn't happen in ordinary life very often. We just live in our head. And so it's like a little 1 minute vacation. And it always works too. And I think it sort of carries to Zazen also, just paying attention to your breath, you're being present. And that's something we could all do more often, I think. So breath is, besides keeping us alive, it's important in other ways.
I didn't know. Elena and John, did you want to say something? Yes, Elena, yes.
Yes, thank you. I also wanted to tag on to the appreciation of when you talked about, and I'm going to paraphrase, shallow breathing as it relates to creating anxiety. And at some point, I realized, and in particular, you know, when I'm really had been really stressed out in my job, I would, if I was engaging with somebody that I was allowing my anxiety to go up in, I would talk really fast, and then my breath would get super shallow. And when I really, really, when it hit me hard, how much that was affecting me and my serenity and my ability to communicate, particularly it was with an old boss where it kind of crescendoed, I realized that I needed to slow myself down in the way I spoke to him, regardless if he was talking a million miles an hour and not breathing, that I needed to refocus on my breath. And I find that I don't succumb to that kind of anxious breathing anymore. And so to have you bring that up today was like, I got to reflect back on some growth, and I appreciated that greatly. Because it does have an effect on, you know, has effect on our heart, our lungs, just everything that you were ascribing to. The other thing I wanted to bring up almost as a question, and again, kind of like, so I think I know where the answer is going to go, but I want to hear what you have to say, is that when I was super young and being taught meditation, and I can't remember who it was, somebody, and it might have even been TM, Transcendental Meditation, where they said, actually say the words in and out while you're breathing. What is your perception? Do you feel that that's channeling my thoughts into doing something as opposed to being natural?
Yes, I think so. You know, there is that was mentioned in some of those articles, you know. I think Sharon Salzberg from Barry said, you know, sometimes if you are feeling particularly distracted, you might try this to help you settle down. Just saying to yourself, in with the in-breath and out with the out-breath. And you can use those kinds of things. There's also, you know, I think Suzuki Roshi used to teach counting your breath. And that you count, in our tradition, you know, there's a million ways to do it, but in our tradition, you count on the out, on the exhale from 1 to 10, and then start over again. And if you, I go ahead and try it. If you get past 3, you're doing pretty well. But I don't, I'm a Dogen person. I'm a Shikantaza, simply sitting, just sitting. And so I think if you use those techniques occasionally to help yourself relax, but yes, it's doing something. Yes, it is. And it's like those 3 breaths to start out. You know, it's extra. It's adding something rather than simply doing the present. It's trendy now to not to disapprove of saying to be present. I think the current term is presencing, but I don't like it. Anyway, I want to say, you know what I mean. We all know what I mean, and we all occasionally do it. But at any rate, yes, I think it's extra. And I also think that it can be useful if you're driving yourself crazy. Zazen, which we do. And that kind of breathing, when you notice that you're anxious in a conversation or some exchange, can always be useful, and you can do that without the other person noticing that you are slowing your breath down or that you are emphasizing your exhale, say. I mean, you don't have to go, you know, you could just exhale a little longer and just slow, as you said, slow it down. And it is a useful thing. And sometimes, though, when you're meditating, you take those 3 breaths, and then you kind of settle into whatever is going on. And there's, your breath is just in your chest. And you know, you can try taking another deep breath and exhaling completely and seeing if it'll settle a little lower. But sometimes it won't. Sometimes it just will not. And there are, you know, all kinds of reasons, whatever's going on in your life, or sometimes you don't even know what it is, but that's your truth right then. That's your body's truth. So the effort then is to notice it and kindly accept it and let it be what it is, just kind of take care of it and then see what happens. But well, as long as you fight it, then you're causing yourself grief, and you may wind up causing other people grief also. Anybody else? Yeah, Kate, but just to say, I want to call on John because he hasn't spoken in.
Thank you. What came to mind when Steve asked the question about why can't we do that, it reminded me when I was younger and I was learning flute. And in flute, you have to learn to discipline your breath, especially in the beginning, because if you keep breathing so deeply, you're going to pass out. You cannot sustain that. Like taking all the deep breaths, I couldn't entirely tell you why, but that was some of my earlier experiences. But then once I learned to just relax with breath, it seemed to come naturally. And it seemed like just with general practice. And in like what was said about moving stones and those sorts of things, going throughout my day, and when I'm aware of my breath, when I'm doing it, it seems to take less effort. And when it does take more effort, I'm aware of it, but I don't seem like I'm stressing over my effort. Because like also what was said, I can create this feedback loop of like straining with my breath, and then it becomes more effort because of how much I'm focusing on it. And because it doesn't feel natural. And I don't know, I thought that was interesting. But I do appreciate being able to notice breath, because then when I'm doing that, I seem to notice more of what's going on in me, around me, with my body, and sometimes how much I'm also attached to all of it or none of it, and just kind of, it feels more apparent without having to exert that it is apparent.
Uh-huh.
And you know, because when I'm struggling with my breath, I'm attached to something that's going on inside, typically, like what was said before. Because you know, in beginning practice, I realized, wow, all of my human emotions, the way I express myself, I'm having some sort of experience in my body. And doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to have control all over it all the time or whatever, but I become aware of it. I can observe it, starting with my breath. Anyway, that's what came to mind for me.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I'm sorry, yeah.
That's okay. I just had one more additional comment about it being extra, the counting or the whatever, and that's true. And sometimes I need extra, you know. And I don't count anymore so much. I used to quite a bit at the beginning, but and this changes for me. But you know, when we studied the Fukan Zazengi, Dogen said one of the instructions is think, not thinking. So that's kind of my current call me back to my breath when I find myself off somewhere. That's it.
Dana, yes, I can. Often people are bowing when they're ending their whatever they're saying, and then a bunch of people bow with them, and I can't tell if they're wanting to talk or they're just responding. So yes, Dana.
Oh, I don't know where this comes from, but this thought comes up for me as I hear all of you, especially y'all too. It feels like a gift in a way. The gift of the practice is kind of all contained here, and even as we contemplate what it means to be a bodhisattva, how the simple practice, although focused on ourselves, is also a gift in the world, because we, you know, we're learning to notice, we're learning to calm ourselves, and how that may be just in itself a gift to others, just by being more aware of ourselves and our emotions, and just that it feels that way to me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. It's also learning to let go. You know, I said I noticed that I had a hitch in my breathing, and it drove me crazy for a while, and I had to finally let the worry about it go, and just figure okay, and not be so fixated on it. And once I stopped worrying about it and getting entangled with it, it went away. Not right away, but it did go away. Now, I know that that's true, but I can't remember how it works. It's been a long time. I've been doing this for a while, so. Asha, I want to invite you, but I don't want to pressure you. So if you don't have anything that you want to say, that's fine. But I just want to make room for you.
Thank you. I do have a few thoughts, I guess. The pausing between the inhale after the exhale and after the exhale between the inhale. I hesitate to say, but I really enjoy long pauses. And I hope that's not wrong. I'm not quite ready to let them go. But I guess maybe I'm asking, is it okay to kind of linger in the pauses in between and find some enjoyment there?
So those, they're different. I'm not sure exactly what your experience is because it's yours, but it's fine to enjoy your breath. The problems arise when we're attached to it. So if you're holding off the next breath, then you are you're doing something. You're entangled in some way. But if you're simply noticing and enjoying the pause and sort of relaxing into it, that's not a problem. So do you understand? I can't see your face all that well, but do you understand the distinction I'm making?
Yes.
So do not make it a problem, as we do. I want to say a little bit more about being with somebody who's dying that Kate brought up. I think that's true. It's a very difficult and a very great practice to be around somebody, to be with somebody when they're dying for lots of reasons. But one is what you learn about the breath and about the body in the process. I mean, it sounds like, Kate, like your father was fighting for breath. But even people who are not fighting for it exactly, the breath sounds labored, or there are long pauses, like a minute, and you think the person has died, and then all of a sudden they inhale. And just really, it drives home how important it is. Sometimes people die, their breathing is slow, nothing like morphine. Their breathing slows down, and it's very, very, very gentle. And sometimes you're not sure whether they actually died or not, and you have to kind of wait a while to know. And just that practice of being with somebody. You do share the breath. And Kate, I think that breathing, your breathing with the person, not necessarily with your father the same way, but you're being there and breathing, either breathing with them if that's possible, or just breathing as gently and calmly as you can. I think it's useful in a way that we can intuit, but we can't necessarily explain intellectually. It is the breath, after all, that connects us to one thing we completely share. So it's a little after 11:20, so I think it's time to stop. Is this okay to stop now?
Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them.